Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Confidential Helicove on again. Helicove Library, you'll step out for that one.
Yep.
There being none other, we go on to the confirmation of the minutes. We'll take the two sets of minutes, take them one at a time. There was a special General Council meeting, the historic joint meeting with Mitcham Council on the 9th of November. If I had someone to move that those minutes be accepted. Moved, Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. In relation to the minutes of the General Council meeting held on 10th of November, is there a motion that they be accepted? That's moved by Councillor Pryor, seconded by Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried unanimously. Some of the reflexes are a bit slow, but it was carried unanimously. In terms of communications, we simply note there's a Mayor's report, Deputy Mayor's report, there are Chief Executive Officer, elected members' report, and Chief Executive Officer and Executive reports on pages 21 to 24. Included amongst the Mayor's reports was the very significant meeting with the State Minister for Transport and the fairly new Federal Minister for Roads in relation to the South Road upgrade, and we're hopeful of getting some news perhaps in about a week's time on the third design for South Road. We come next to the deputation, do we not? Oh, comms report?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing it. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. Councillor Hull?
Yeah,
I'm just going back to the comms reports actually to look for a mover that they be accepted.
Well,
moved, Councillor Telfer.
I have a question.
Question regarding it?
Yeah.
Well, let's move, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. I'll open that to questions or debate. Councillor Hull?
Directed to Mr. Scull, the meeting with Richard McLaughlin from Renew USA, did the subject of bulky white goods come up in regards to the Tonsley development? If so, what was the nature of the discussion?
Mr. Scull?
For example, there's a whole range of buildings that could be classed as bulky storage areas, and so they would be looking at them, but with an understanding that council certainly doesn't want bulky white goods retail to be in that area. So we did talk about it. We didn't talk about it in detail, but he understands that council has issues with it.
Yeah, I'd like to ask, if they're not bulky white goods, are they sort of grey or teal?
I think the way it was put to us is that some stores which might have designer items for things around the home might technically involve white goods, but the very clear message that was given to Mr. McLaughlin was that we're not going to see the good guys or Harvey Norman, to name a couple of popular local stores.
So we might have Melee or something like that.
No. The intention is not to have a bulk store of that nature.
Is Renewal SA going to raise an objection to the planning process at the moment that actually is calling for comment about bulky white goods?
Don't know. And Mrs. Scott doesn't know why. Well, then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now I'll ask, there being no Youth Advisory Committee update, I'll ask Mr. Des Houston to come forward and explain to us within 5 minutes his experience of the spa at the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre. So we've got a seat for you up here, Mr. Houston, and Ms. Dixon will tell you how to use the microphone. If you leave time within the 5 minutes, then there will be time for questions.
They're not covered under any legislation or regulation and have never been tested in the court. They were prepared specifically to enable the aquatic centres to self-regulate their own industry, and they were never intended to be used outside of this industry. If we have a look at all the standards and codes operating on the spas in this state, there's no mention made of the need for a lifeguard. And I don't believe there ever should be. Because the lifeguards have no legality, the council is under no obligation to use them in respect of determining safety needs for the spa. The question has to be asked, then why did the council use them when they are not legal? I ask you, the elected members, to recognise that the smallness of the spa in such a confined space does not warrant a lifeguard to keep users safe. We request and hope that you will show leadership and adopt a more common sense and realistic approach, that given the evidence presented, you will vote to reverse the council's decision and reopen the spa and sauna facility. Thank you.
Thank you for leaving us plenty of time for questions, Mr. Houston. I can start off with a couple. First of all, can you just outline, members have seen the correspondence, of course, but can you just remind us how long you've been using the spa and how often a week you use it?
I've been a member at the centre for about 11 and a half years. I go there 4 to 5 times a week, and I have 4 to 5, I go in the spa most times. I have I go and do a 2 hour gymnastic. I do cardio and then I do a weight program and then I have a 15 minute spa afterwards.
Well, can I ask you then about the other users or how many people are normally in the spa and when you're using it? And what's the maximum?
Well, the maximum is usually around about 5 people in the spa at any one time, and it's usually early morning, midday and late at night. Probably there's more in there about midday because you have the group of people, which is the Fitness for Life group. And there's about 70 members, and quite a lot of those members go and have a spa afterwards. They're all over 50. They probably use the spa not only for therapeutic benefits, but when you get old, you get pains. And particularly a lot of them, they get back pains or arthritic pains, and the spa actually gets rid of them. Even though they're fit people, they still need that spar, and I do too. I use it to get rid of the stiffness in my joints, and I, when I played football, I got a broken rib, and I've got some nerves go down there, and I put the spar, the jets on it, and it keeps it away from me.
Mr. Houston, just a practical thing, the LifeSaver guidelines, which council staff and the YMCA have said ought to be followed, require the lifeguard to have a view of the floor of the pool. So practically, how would that happen within that environment where the spa is?
Because it's such a small area, the spa, which is an in-ground one, is only about 1 to 2 metres away from the three walls. So for them to have line of sight, and they actually can't see the bottom, because when the bubbles are going, you can't see the bottom. You would have to have a lifeguard sitting with 1 to 2 metres looking down. And if you can imagine, let's say, three women over 50 who don't really fit in their bathing suits as well as they used to, having someone staring at them for 15 minutes, I just wonder how you would feel.
And I've just got a couple more questions. Sorry, members, I'm hogging the limelight here. But there were five risks which the YMCA identified and assessed. I'm glad to say the one, rough conduct, drug and alcohol use, was assessed as a low risk for the people you're talking about in the spa. But drowning, diving, slipping, heart attack were all assessed as medium risk. Now, drowning one can perhaps understand, although how often have you observed people putting their heads under the water, for example?
Never, because...
No, that's all right. You can leave the answer at that if you like.
There is the odd person that will forget to go to the toilet and use that, so you wouldn't want to put your head underneath the water.
Okay. Well, that sounds like more of a risk than any of these others.
But just on the drowning,
if
you have a look at the statistics... Bureau of Stats and the Royal Life Saving, there is no stats at all on drowning in spas except for the age group of 1 to 5. So on that basis, there's never been a drowning in a spa.
And now, what about diving in and causing injury? How many people have you seen diving into the spa?
The way the spa is set up, it's got a seat going around the outside. So you couldn't dive into the spa. The only person who would dive in this bar is the one who wanted to take his own life.
Okay. Now, slipping, I guess any time there's a wet surface there could be slipping, but how is it different from... Well, aren't there other wet areas like showers? Aren't there showers in the facility as well somewhere?
There is. There's two wet areas. One which is on the other side of the building, and in the spa area there is one shower and one toilet, which a lot of people, particularly men and women that don't want to share their shower with others, they usually use that one. And then behind that is another shower and toilet block. Not a shower, but a toilet block.
Okay. And heart attacks. Is there anything about the spa that you think might promote heart attacks?
No, there's nothing. The spa, the way it's set up, it's got... safety rails to get down. There's a step down the bottom. And by the time you take the seat out, there's very little water in that spa. So I don't think... I've never ever seen anyone step... In fact, in the 25 years that we can go back, there has never been one incident, one injury at all. So they've got a perfect safety record.
No, sorry, don't interrupt the meeting, please. And if you say anything more, you'll have to go and sit down at the back. Elected members, do you have anything to ask? Councillor Appleby?
Would you be prepared to sign a waiver of liability?
Yes, I would, and I think probably every other member that goes in that sauna would, as well, spa would as well.
Two questions. Not necessarily to you, sir, but there are two burning questions I'd like to ask. One is, this spa has been in operation for how many years now?
30 years.
To the staff, how many incidents have we had there with the spa in any way?
To my knowledge, none.
Councillor Hull, let's revisit that when we have the debate on the motion.
All right.
Let's just focus on Mr. Houston's experience just for the moment.
Okay. I'll hold my questions for that point then.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Houston? Councillor Velasco.
Risky behaviour by letting you use it or not?
CASA, who was the previous lessee, they had a very open sort of management where they discussed everything with the members, whereas when YMCA came in, they discussed nothing with us. We didn't know about this closure. We thought it was just being shut down because of a fault in the equipment. It was 3 weeks later, and all of a sudden we see this message come out to say that we've gone to the council with a proposal to shut it down.
Any others? Then thank you, Mr. Houston. We'll come to the debate on the spa shortly, so I'd ask you to take your seat in the gallery for now. Thank you.
I would like to have a few comments about that 270, if I may, later on.
Well, I think it'll be a matter of listening to the debate, I'm afraid. Sorry, I thought you'd finished your presentation, but we do have all of your written correspondence to consider. Members, we have next in line the Hallett Cove Library issue. Any member wishes, we could move that to be adjourned to later in the proceedings before other confidential items, perhaps. And that would mean that we would go straight on to the spa debate. But alternatively, we can deal with the Hallett Cove Library now. It's up to you. Councillor Crossland? Before the other confidential items? Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Which means that the next item on the agenda is indeed the... I'm calling it the spa issue, but it's actually council review of the Section 270 review in relation to the closure of the wet areas at the Marion Leisure and Fitness Facility. I'm happy to... Do we have any questions before a motion is moved? Councillor Hull?
I've got a couple. Just officially from the staff, incidents in the lifetime of the spa, how many?
Through the chair, to our knowledge, there haven't been any incidents
over 20 years. Okay. The next question is that in the city of Marion, we've got a number of spas in hotels and cabins. The Big Four down here, for example, is there a requirement for a lifeguard at all those facilities for the same reasons that we've got this imposition now?
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair. So the difference in that is the hotels are private facilities, whereas the Marion Leisure Fitness Centre would be considered as a public facility, and that's where the Royal life-saving guidelines then come into play.
Right, but it is a leased facility to a private entity. It's not a body corporate of the council.
Through the chair, what council currently has in place with the YMCA is a management agreement, so it's not a commercial lease.
Okay. The most important question I'm going to ask is going forward. Given that somebody has made this decree and the spa's been shut, how do we stand in terms of possible, even feigned incidents? And it does happen where people actually try and rip off organisations for compensation. When this has been out there and somebody could throw themselves into the spa and injure themselves deliberately, knowing now that we actually are operating without a lifeguard. if we choose to go that way. I'd like to ask that question, have we set ourselves up to fail in terms of providing amenity to the community at the Marion Leisure and Fitness?
Ms Dixon? Or Ms McKenzie?
Through the Chair, from a public liability perspective, every claim would need to be dealt with on an individual case-by-case basis. They'd need to be able to substantiate that the Council has acted negligently in some way, and if they could prove that, then Council would bear the cost of it. At the end of the day, it would be up to a court to determine whether they thought we'd acted reasonably or not.
Proposed indemnity that mentioned earlier, would that, on the basis that strictly all those people using it would sign that indemnity, would that actually be a way of absolving the Council's now publicly known responsibility?
Ms McKenzie?
Through the Chair, it would again be dependent on what a court determines. My view is that when you have a risk and you haven't mitigated it properly, and if that's what the court so determined, then the waiver might not stand up.
Well, there might be someone in the room that begged to differ, but Councillor Appleby, you've got any questions?
Do other councils have lifeguards at their spas? Because I've never seen one, for example, in North Adelaide.
Yeah, through the Chair, from my conversations with the LGA Mutual Liability Scheme, that this spa is very unique. There's not another one in the state like it.
Sorry, can you explain that? I mean, it's a little oval about the size of a dining room table, which up to eight people would sit in. That's
so
not
many other,
isn't that what spas are always like?
Yes, but many of the other spas at community recreation facilities are also attached to a pool. So then there's none in the state that are actually located in a room such as this, within a rec centre.
Councillor Valescu?
I'm just going to give you some context to my question. I went out before and I rang a fitness centre that has a pool in our council area. There's no lifeguard at the pool. So how come they can have a pool that's not supervised? And is that under the same because they're not public? And how does that stack as far as liability goes?
Hang on, we'll just maybe get you an answer. Ms Dixon?
I would assume it falls into that it's a private facility as opposed, but I would prefer to get further advice on that if Council wishes us to.
The simple answer is, if everyone's careful and they're insured, you don't get into problems. That's why all of these hotels and cabins and other pools are happy to run it without a lifeguard. But carry on.
The other question is this as it may appear from the correspondence received by Mr Houston, that is just a convenient excuse to close it, to not have to worry about paying for this facility because there's no point putting in a lifeguard if people aren't going to use it. And that means that we're not, you know, if there's a determined risk and that's hanging over our heads, then, you know, then it's just a way to close it. That's what it seems like. I'm just wondering if that's the case.
A comment from Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, so when the issue came to the attention of the YMCA, they sent a memo to administration outlining options. Those options also included employing a lifeguard, so we were compliant with the guidelines, which came at a significant cost. So if a lifeguard was engaged full-time when the spa currently operates, that would equate to just over $7,000 per month. So it was also weighing up the cost to council and the community if we engaged a lifeguard to be there in terms of that and the amount of customers being served as well, so conscious of the cost of running the centre.
Well, with respect, that probably begs clarification because council wouldn't be paying that cost because of our arrangement, our contract with YMCA. We would only be effectively contributing a fraction of the cost. And I don't want to go into details of the financial arrangement, But if they employed a lifeguard, I mean, we don't employ the staff there, full stop. So we would be contributing in the same way that we contribute to other expenses, which is a fraction. Isn't that right?
Through the chair. So the management agreement that council has with the YMCA is that it's a joint budgeting process, and we either wear any deficits or surplus. So we pay a management fee. So if that additional amount was put in, it would increase the cost in terms of running the centre as well.
Okay. Councillor Hull.
Thank you. This is a fantastic parallel, Mr. Mayor. We have the State Aquatic Centre run by the YMCA over here. Admittedly, it's the Victorian branch, but nevertheless the YMCA. They've got a spa. Is there a lifeguard all the time in the spa area at the YMCA, behind those darkened doors?
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, there isn't a spa facility at the State Aquatic Centre.
There what?
There isn't a spa facility.
There's no spa at the State Aquatic Centre.
That's our understanding.
Well, are we sure about that? That there's a spa? There's a sauna?
Yes.
Right. So there's no lifeguard in the sauna area in case somebody passes out?
They do regular inspections as part of an isolated area as well. So they have, obviously the pool has attendance at State Aquatic Centre, so the sauna is monitored under the guidelines.
I'd like you to check on that spa question, by the way.
All right, well, we'll have to leave that as a question on notice.
But there's definitely spa areas in areas of that building. I saw them when it was being built.
Well, you've just been told that there isn't one. Councillor Telfer?
Through the chair. How many times has the pool been closed for water quality improvements and for how long?
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair. So at the Marion Leisure Fitness Centre, so the spa closure, I'm not aware, I haven't got the stats of how many times in the past. Mr. Huston did talk about the spa being closed when this issue became. There was some problems with the pump, and that needed to be addressed as well, but I don't have those stats.
I'm aware of prior times when the pool has been closed for water quality. The spa.
Well, if others haven't, I've got a question about the contract, and it's on the last page of it, that is to say the letter confirming the terms signed by Mark Searle earlier in the year. And it states, the YMCA SA will manage and operate the Marion Leisure and Fitness Centre at its own risk and hereby releases the council from and against all claims, actions, proceedings, costs, expenses, losses, suffering, illness and liabilities incurred by the YMCA SA or its employees, agents, subcontractors, third-party persons or customers which arise from its management and operation of the MLFC to the extent of its contribution. So really my question is, how did their problem become our problem? They were given the place to run, everyone understood that was including the operation of the wet areas, and then they've closed it and come to us to sort of adopt the risk. I don't understand how we did that. Can you explain that, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, so the YMCA came to us with options. There, as an operator, they were indicating they were prepared to keep the spa open, but it would come at a cost by having a lifeguard there. So they clearly gave us communication that as an operator they wouldn't want to operate it without following the guidelines that are in place. So that's where, in the management agreement as well, they take those insurance, but it's they will indemnify if council hasn't required them to work outside what they consider is an acceptable risk level. So if we were to ask them to operate the spa with outside the guidelines, the advice that we've got is that then the risk would be it's highly likely that if an incident did occur and it was considered in a court, that it could come back to council.
Okay, thanks. Just before we go on, just checking, thanks to the wonders of the internet, just checking the State Aquatic Centre website. Talks about the centre features, various things, obviously including the pool. It does have something called a jet pool. Now, I don't know what that is, but it does sound like a spa pool.
Through the chair, our understanding is there is, so as part of one of the pools, there's a hydrotherapy jet pool, but it's not an enclosed spa, so separate. So in that circumstances, you've got lifeguards on site, so they would be monitoring use of that aquatic facility.
Councillor Crossland.
Two questions. The first one is, irrespective of what we decide today, can the YMCA close the spa for business reasons, in that it's a loss-making venture? And if they can't, if this becomes a commercial lease, I am guessing the new operator could close it anyway.
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair. So the agreement that we've got with the YMCA, and I'm just going to check I've understood your question, it really is a management agreement, so the budgeting is done jointly and those sorts of significant decisions done through collaboration with council. In a commercial lease, it would be likely that the operator would be making that decision. It would be dependent on the provisions that council had in the lease agreement, but that could be an outcome. Yeah.
So just to follow on from that, is the spa commercially viable with 15 people using it?
Through the chair, so the advice that we got through from the YMCA that the usage was low, and that's why they recommended that the spa be closed, considering the cost of running it.
Yeah, can you tell me what the costs are to run the spa for 15 people?
So through the chair, if the spa with a lifeguard was...
The lifeguard, sorry.
No, I don't have those. We haven't got that cost analysis.
Councillor Carey, that was a question.
Yeah, it was a question. Why don't we have those figures? Because that's crucial to our decision tonight.
So the cost benefit analysis that we did with the issue was with having the lifeguard on, because that was the issue, whether to have a lifeguard there or not. If council wishes us to get those costs, we can certainly circulate those costs.
And sorry, just to follow that on, Ms. Dixon, where can we find that cost-benefit analysis, or have we just got the headline in a sense?
Through the chair, so in the report there's a range of the cost of having a lifeguard in there.
So is that just for lifeguard, nothing to do with the rest of the operation?
Through the chair, yep. So that was the additional cost.
All right, so those actual operational costs we don't have at the moment. Councillor Valescu.
A bit of a curveball, and I understand a few of the questions probably would have caught the staff a bit by surprise, so I'm aware of that. Is a spa or something similar... is one of the items possibly considered in the master plan of the Marion Outdoor Pool?
Through the chair? No, not a spa, no.
Rightio. Members will be aware that I've been quite loose in allowing a number of questions, but it's a contested issue, so I thought it was important that people have that opportunity. Ms. Dixon, did you have something to add before we get into motion time?
I could also just, there is information that the Y did supply in terms of costs of running the spa and sauna as well, which comes at $18,800, so that has the chemicals, gas, electricity and water costs in there.
Oh, that's useful, thank you. All right, looking for someone to move a motion, one of the presented options or a variation thereof. I better put my glasses on, I can't see anyone's hand up. Councillor Appleby.
Your Worship, I'm prepared to move a motion that we liaise with the indemnity scheme about having a waiver of liability and whether they'd accept that.
So the suggested way forward might be to adjourn the matter, if that be the case, to allow for those discussions to take place, because obviously it would alter the liability landscape substantially if users were invited to sign a waiver and for appropriate signage to say that it can't be used unless somebody's a registered user, in other words, somebody who has signed a waiver. So up to you if you want to move a procedural motion.
If I'm happy for that to be a procedural motion.
So in other words, put it off for 2 weeks, put it off to the next General Council meeting. That's moved. No, the next council meeting is 8th of December. Moved, Councillor Appleby seconded, Councillor Westwood. There's no debate on the point. All those in no, we're just in the process. It's a procedural motion. We really have to get this done. So you just... well, Councillor Howell, you do your own research in the meantime. All those in favour of adjourning it for 2 weeks, raise your hand. All those against, that is carried unanimously, so we'll do that. So to those in the gallery, Mr. Houston and friend, we don't have a decision for you tonight, but we're exploring a way forward, which would involve, possibly, members of the spa signing some sort of waiver agreement so that they would accept their own liability if there was any injury, in the unlikely event of injury. So we're putting it on hold so that we can investigate it further. I realise it's dragged on for a few months, but please be patient. We'll explore a way forward. And I move on to the next item of business, which is on page 167 of the agenda, advertising on bus shelters. So you're free to stay or you're free to go. And you may want to come back in 2 weeks. Councillor Blescu?
Yeah, look, I would like to move the motion on the bus shelters. I would like to include another point, and that is, and I'm just going to get to the relevant part of the agenda, so please bear with me. At point three, that Council thank the current bus shelter advertising for their response. In the continued spirit of cooperation, Council write to the advertisers to ask how they could change the placement of advertisements to balance their contractual obligations with the desire of Council to minimise junk food advertising around schools. Sure.
That can be typed up by... Tori, our wonderful assistant, while you're speaking to the motion. First, I will ask if the motion is seconded. Councillor Hull, I'll come back to you, reserving your right. Councillor Blescu, please proceed.
Yeah, look, I think it's... I understand that the people do have contractual obligations. Obviously, BAM has a more limited pool and may not be exposed to some of the organisations that do the quite strong and virulent advertising campaigns. I understand also that the Adshel company, and I believe the advertisement that started this was on an Adshel shelter. Obviously, they had to be a little bit more guarded because of their contractual obligations. But I'm sure they sounded pretty positive. I'm sure that they could look at the types of adverts they've got and consider the placement that would minimise the impact around those schools and kindergartens. And whilst there's the mention of bakeries, if there's an advertising a bakery is one thing, but having a child, you know, looking at a chocolate donut or something like that is probably inappropriate. Now, the advertising companies, they work for the people doing the advertising. I suspect that the people doing the advertising very deliberately target young kids, target children. And what needs to be recognised is that the ad that I saw actually had the demographic most likely to eat junk food, and that was young males between 14 and 25. So I believe it was very deliberate on behalf of the companies or the advertising, and I hope that the bus shelter companies can play their bit in trying to make us a healthier city. Finally, in regards to the advertising that we do, I guess we'll see what would be appropriate. I wouldn't want us to spend lots and lots of money on it. And if it's probably something that we'd have spent on something else, if this is a more effective way of getting our message across, then I would support it. But I wouldn't want council or the people doing this in staff thinking, oh, now we're going to put stuff on bus shelters just because. So I hope it's a considered decision. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to move it to consider a definition, because as much as I support the motion, I think that it won't have the ability to be carried through appropriately unless we actually define. Members, on page 190, there are two definitions there. There's the Collins Dictionary and the Oxford Dictionary. I would suggest the Collins Dictionary is as closest to what we mean in terms of junk food. I think if you can imagine going forward, people making decisions about what is appropriate and what's not, we'll need a definition, at least something to actually understand what our intent is. So I would like to see if we can actually somehow embed in the motion the Collins Dictionary definition of junk food, so there's no misunderstandings about what the council's intent is with this. I think that's really important. It wouldn't be in the report if it wasn't important. So that's something I'd like to ask. It's a question at this point. I haven't spoken to the motion.
Happy to put a footnote if we need to.
Well, you were right, but I thought we might have been able to pick it up as a definition to interpret what we're doing. Well, if I can withdraw my seconding, I'll do that and move an amendment. Oh, of course.
Is anyone seconding the motion? Councillor Westwood, thank you. Did you wish to speak to Councillor Westwood? Councillor Hull, I feel an amendment coming up.
I think I might.
You've got the call.
The amendment is that we actually do have the, as a, could it be 0.5? Is that the way to go? As a definition?
What about putting it in as brackets in clause 2? because then the first time that you get to junk food, you find out what it is.
Yep.
And you're using the...
Okay, you just cut and paste that in. Yep. In speaking to the motion, I support... well, in speaking to the amendment, I support this amendment. I don't think councils actually do enough in stewardship in the community. I'm glad that council staff did actually pick up on the point that there has to be more to this than just a flippant prohibition on junk food on bus signs. There has to be more to it, and that's been picked up in this. And I guess, really, this is consistent with my view that stewardship can extend to lots of issues. We did it within the last 12 months in terms of acknowledging the gay and lesbian community. And then there was an attempt to actually acknowledge that harm is being done to our community by poker machines in our council facilities. So this is more of the same from this council. Hopefully this one will get supported as opposed to the poker machine initiative that I tried to move not so long ago. So I'd like to move the amendment as read, Mr. Mayor.
Voting on the amendment straight away, pursuant to the Appleby Doctrine. Now, is anyone seconding the amendment? Councillor Pfeiffer, reserving your right to speak. Well, do you wish to speak now to the amendment and or the motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. I will very briefly. Look, this is a good thing to do. This is a very good thing for the community. Look, we do have a role in actually providing community leadership in this place. It's not about being a nanny state. It's not about censoring big corporate organisations or anything like that. It's just about, you know, showing the community that, you know, we are trying to raise a healthier kids and a healthier society. And in doing so, I refer to Sesame Street, Your Worship. On Sesame Street, I'm very, very highly familiar with Sesame Street with three young kids. And on Sesame Street, we had the Cookie Monster. Now, the Cookie Monster traditionally was very much about, cookies. These days, he acknowledges that cookies are sometimes food. And he also loves fruits and eggplant. Little fun fact for you. So that's just another example of how, and this is you know, external to us. It's over in the United States that it's produced. It's an example of community leadership from a different perspective on exactly the same issue. I just think, you know, we can take a leaf out of the Cookie Monster's book and do the right thing here too.
Well, that's what Councillor Valescu's trying to do. I think it's the Cookie Monster culture that, and I mean that in a positive way. Well, now we can vote on the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by a majority. So we have the motion as amended. Is there anyone speaking against? If not, then I'll simply put the motion. There's no need to reply, really. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against, it's carried by a majority. Division is called. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Hull, Westwood and Valescu, just remain standing for a moment. Those against, Councillors Kerry, Pryor, Appleby and Crossland. Thanks, you may sit down. Still declare the motion carried. Councillors, we move on to the next item, Marion Cultural Centre Plaza, amenity improvements on page 193 of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is my amendment. I really do need to amend this recommendation. Only to the effect that the $40,000 in its entirety should be used on infrastructure, not on
events, not on performers, not on anything else.
So, Councillor Hull, can I just clarify what you're moving?
Well, I'm moving, I guess, the first bit, refer the allocation of up to $40,000 for improving the amenity of the Marion Cultural Centre Plaza.
Yep.
Right, that's all good. Refers the allocation of $40,000 for programs, considering any prioritisation as well as embedding it as a current annual. Yeah, that's no problem. Request that a report be brought back to Council in April.
Objecting to in your opening remarks.
Oh, so the program, well, I interpret...
That's where all the clowns come in and that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I interpret the programming as the programming of the expenditure of the infrastructure.
Well, staff may correct me, but I don't think so. Councillor... Ms Dixon.
Through the Chair. So the second resolution is $40,000 for programming, which activates the space, so that is performance, outdoor movies, markets and things. So it's nothing to do with the actual infrastructure, shading or seating.
Right.
Back to you, Councillor Hull, so as to what you're moving.
Well, the programming relating to infrastructure upgrades.
That's covered in Clause 1.
Yeah. Oh, OK. So maybe we can drop Clause 2. Is that what you're suggesting, Mr Mayor?
Well, I'm not suggesting anything other than it would be consistent with your opening remarks.
Right, well, I'll drop Clause 2 if everything's going to be picked up in Clause 1.
Clause 1 is about building stuff to make the space better.
Mm.
Clause 2 is about paying people to do stuff there that will bring people along.
That's not what this is all about. But anyway, I'll speak to that in a minute.
Right, just get down to Clause 3.
Request that a report be brought back to Council in April outlining the final design and whole of life cost to deliver the capital works required to improve. Maybe we do have to do that. One would hope by April that you'd work out how to spend $40,000, which is not a whole lot of money. If it's very clear that we're sticking to infrastructure, we're talking about tables,
yes,
chairs and
yes,
shade, nothing else. I'll speak to that in a minute.
You would think that if the allocation is made, that a report would be brought back anyway. But the point is probably the time frame, as much as anything. I mean, that's the bit we're really asked to decide on. If we allocate the money, there'll be a design, there'll be whole of life calculations, but the suggestion is that it comes back to us in April. With those details.
And that makes sense in terms of the budgeting.
All right. So after all that clarification, you're moving the written,
point
recommended clauses 1 and 3. Right.
Yep.
So,
and speaking to the motion...
Please go ahead.
Members, I hear what you're saying. Like, if I had my wildest dreams, contrary to Councillor Valescu's open objection to this, I would actually have the full bells and whistles happening there, but we don't have the money. I accept that. Okay? And I think I've been pretty disciplined in that approach for the last 12 months and or maybe longer about that. It would be great to actually follow through and do what our forefathers started out in probably late 1980s, probably 1986, something like that. They would have started buying off those homes over there with the intent of creating the centre for Marion and a precinct of a cultural centre or a plaza, a focal point for the city. It's a shame we can't proceed at this point. But at the moment, we've got a cafe down there that's been struggling for years that we've been bailing out. The place has changed, the State Aquatic Centre's built, other things have happened around there, and we really need to actually listen to signal that we're open for business. Not only for the cafe, but for our library and our art gallery. So this $40,000 has to be for infrastructure only. If we start actually using any of this $40,000 on performers and buskers and whatever else, it would suddenly we'd end up with a park bench and maybe a new garbage bin. You know, like that's how important it is to actually bring this into what our intent is. When Councillor Pryor and myself met with staff, we made it fairly clear that we wanted to have a modest improvement there that would actually activate it. My hope is, Mr Mayor, by doing this, we may send the signal to the community that there is an opportunity to activate this area, and it will then in turn send the signal back to us that we actually have a reason to invest more into that area. That's what my bigger hope is, because then we can actually finish off, have the reason and understanding to actually refocus and finish off the job. But at this point, we're talking about $40,000. Now, this can actually go a long way to make the viability of the cafe. We have events there. Right now, we've got a major event there with the Pan Pacific Schools. Right, there's people from all over Australia there at the moment and overseas, and they probably wouldn't even realise, and Councillor Crosland's quite correct in pointing this out, that there's even a cafe there. You'd struggle at times to even know that it's actually a cafe there if you were looking down from the corridor that goes through from the Static Aquatic Centre through to the GP Plus. So this is what this is all about, Mr Mayor. I hope the members will support this modest, and I stress modest, amount of money to go to a very core intent with no buskers or performers.
Thank you. Time is up. Councillor, I'm going to ask Councillor Pryor to second it, but did you have a question? All right. The question now. Thanks, Councillor.
I'm just wondering, so Councillor Hull's motion appears just to have a one-off spending of $40,000, so there's no recurrent spending, be it for infrastructure or other amenity, but anything.
It's always assumed that when capital works are spent, that the ongoing maintenance and depreciation costs will flow into the long-term financial plan. But that's quite a separate matter from the activities aspect, which we've also discussed.
To clarify whether Councillor Hull wanted the $40,000 towards annually to go towards capital improvements in the area.
As I understand the motion, that is $40,000 to spend on something sort of as soon as we can design it and build it and put it there. There will necessarily be, Mr Barnwell's or Mr Mifsud's finance team will look after the long-term financial implications of building something, which we do with everything. But the $40,000 is to build something that costs $40,000 to build.
Through the Chair, that's correct. And when we come back in April, we'll have more details of what will be delivered in that $40,000. And it will also indicate the maintenance costs, so the whole of life costs.
And while we're sort of in the middle of things, I take it that staff, if this motion is passed, that staff would begin the design work rather than waiting for us to go off to some forum and prioritise different things and then give another nod. This would be the imprimatur to actually get going on it?
Through the Chair, yes.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Councillor Pryor, to second.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Very happy to second this. I think this is a realistic expectation of our friends at Signatures. I don't think it's a large amount of money, and I think we can do a lot with the amount of money that we're given. And just to outline that, it does say in the motion, or in the documents that go with the motion, that Tony, the operator of Signatures, was consulted on this. He's had his say. I think the feedback from him was that he'd like the area greened. We can definitely do that. A bit of shade, depending on how we put our sales up. If we can get sales, I don't think $40,000 will cover sales, but we can work around these things. I'm also not so keen on the performers yet. Let's do this first step and see how far we go, and then we can talk about clowns and jugglers and things later if we really want to go there. Thank you.
And can I just ask another question? Thank you, Councillor Pryor. But Another question is, it's not as if nothing would happen there, because as I understand it, there's an existing budget, and because there have been markets and things like that happening. So Ms Dixon, do you want to just amplify on that?
Through the chair, yes. So there is funding that we do some things on the plaza in the summer. The intention of the $40,000 was to invest funds to really activate the space through there. So that was just an option we also presented to council, that it programming plus the infrastructure is where you get that true activation of a place.
Thank you. So anyone speaking against the motion? Well, Councillor Valescu's keen to speak to some extent, so please go ahead.
Yeah, look, just before I do speak, I just realised that because I don't get the food paid for by council, I actually pay to buy a roll from the person who does our catering. I will declare a conflict, but I don't think there's any issue there because I buy that at market rates. It is a commercial agreement, but it's something that I do so the ratepayers don't have to pay for me having dinner. But that beggars a point. This isn't about the provider. This isn't about keeping the cafe person happy. This is about what our community wants. And the revitalised activation of the area is what the community wants for it. And it would obviously benefit the cafe, but that's not our priority. We're here really to serve everyone. I think we should not keep the cafe person at the forefront of our mind. So I just think that's something to be aware of. I remind members that when we first got the $2 million, $3 million, then $6.2 to $7.2 million plan for the plaza, it was told this is how we can revitalise the area and make it vibrant. I'm glad that even in the initial motion, it only cost us $40,000 a year to revitalise the environment, as opposed to around about $600,000 or maybe more if you're looking at paying off a loan to do what was there originally. I do think we will need more money for some of those capital improvements, and I welcome the seconders being open to, and possibly I'm not sure about the mover, I can't speak for them, for us to provide some entertainment, because it is something that people want, but we just have to be obviously careful because it is other people's money. But I think something we do need to be aware of is that would we ask someone in Mr. Barnswell's position as a professional, external to the organisation, to do something for free, but we would expect it for someone who is a creative professional. So I think that we do need to not undervalue people that do have a profession that is in the creative field.
Look, don't think that I disrespect clowns. I love them. I'm just a little scared of them, that's all. There is a question that arises out of that. Ms Dixon, what was the actual budget in the plaza master plan that was developed in the previous council?
Through the chair, so for the whole works? Yep. $7 million.
Okay. So no one can accuse this council of not cost cutting since we've reduced the budget by about $7 million for this project at this point. Councillor Telfer?
I'd like to say that we always plan for this area to be activated, the library, Gallery M and cafe area, and we always assumed that the GP Plus and the SAC development would do it. But in fact, the State Aquatic Centre uses its own cafe and doesn't come across. And I think that in our planning and our original vision of that development, we didn't hit the mark. It didn't actually happen. So for that reason, I very much support this.
All right. No one was really speaking against it, so I'll just put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you, members.